Pink Floyd, Comfortably Numb. This is the other side of midnight. I'm Frank Morano. I am a big fan of Tim Schwartz. He is an Emmy Award-winning television producer and has written some really, really thought-provoking books, including one about a voyage and a chapter of American history which has not been explored nor explained nearly enough from my point of view. The book is a little older, but it's still worth taking a look back at. He is the author of the book Admiral Byrd's Secret Journey Beyond the Poles and a number of other things, but that is one of the things I want to touch upon with him. Tim, thank you so much for staying up late with us on the radio today.
Why, thank you for having me on tonight, Frank. It's a real pleasure.
So if people are not familiar with Admiral Byrd and what exactly happened at Antarctica, before we get to the theory that you lay out in your book, just set the stage for us in terms of what history records Admiral Byrd as having done with respect to Antarctica. Who was he and what did he do in Antarctica?
Sure. Well, you know, Admiral Byrd back in the 1920s became a national hero when he and a Navy chief aviation pilot by the name of Floyd Bennett attempted a flight over the North Pole. Now, you know, I mean, we do that all the time now, but you have to remember, in 1926, this was a big thing, and they were considered the first people to ever fly over the North Pole, and so, you know, he became a national hero for that. So, after the end of World War II, the United States figured out that the Soviet Union was going to be a real threat. You know, I mean, they were allies of the United States against Nazi Germany during the war, but at the end, not so much. So one of the things the United States was interested in doing was trying to find out, first of all, whether or not it was possible to set up a permanent base in Antarctica. The other thing was that there had been rumors going around that Nazi Germany had set up a base of operations in the South Pole, in Antarctica. There had been Nazi U-boats that had turned themselves in Argentina at the end of the war. And when the captains were debriefed by not only Argentine but American officials, they said that they had actually had first stopped off at this secret base in Antarctica, dropping off personnel and equipment before they turned themselves in South America. So the United States organized an operation called Operation High Jump in 1946. Now, this was an expedition that had 13 ships, 23 aircraft, and over 4,700 men. This was one of the largest Navy operations since World War II. And it was unheard of getting this type of operation together in a peacetime situation.
And the stated mission, as reported by the federal government and the Pentagon at the time, for Operation High Jump was to explore the establishment of an American military base in the South Pole.
Yes. It also was supposed to gather photographs, look for mineral resources and to test, actually to train personnel on how to possibly fight a possible Soviet threat.
Understood.
Right. But you have to understand also it would have been a lot cheaper to send these men, say, to Canada or someplace like that rather than go all the way to South America to try to fight the Soviet Union. Because, you know, the Soviet Union was going to attack the United States. They were going to come over the North Polar regions and not the South Pole. But for some reason, it was decided that this was going to take place in Antarctica, and Admiral Richard Byrd was put in charge of this operation. Afterwards, this was an operation that was supposed to take place over the entirety of the Antarctic summer, which would have been from December, just the opposite of what it would have been in the Northern Hemisphere. It would have been from December to about March and April. What happened, though, for some reason, they were there for less than 6 weeks and suddenly came back. Now, reporters that were embedded in Operation High Jump, and you have to understand, too, that this was a fairly open, press-wise, operation. There were reporters embedded not only from the United States, but from various countries in South America. One of these reporters for the newspaper The Mercury ran a story stating that Admiral Byrd was heading back because he had to let Congress know that he was afraid that the United States was going to be attacked by, as he put it, aircraft and missiles coming over the southern polar regions towards the United States. Now, on top of that, there were rumors that during some of these reconnaissance missions over the southern polar regions, that there were lakes that were discovered that contained fresh water, and in areas that appeared to be almost temperate areas. Wildlife supposedly was seen. There were even some rumors that there had been photographs taken of animals like woolly mammoths, things like that. Some of these stories that came out of Operation High Jump were extremely bizarre. There's also the rumors that there was a journey into what was referred to as the Hollow Earth by Admiral Byrd on Operation High Jump.
Okay, so this is pretty groundbreaking, and this is a significant departure from what the official story is, and this is one of the things that I want to get you to explore and to explain to our listeners. And if people are just tuning in, we're talking with Tim Swartz. He is an Emmy Award-winning TV producer. He's written many books, and he's got a new book out now in which he's a contributor to, in which we know some of the other authors as well. We're going to have you back in the future, Tim, to talk about that. But in your book, which is, I guess, about 14 years old now, Admiral Byrd's Secret Journey Beyond the Poles, the sort of the sub headline is Discover a Hidden World Inside the Earth, Land Without a Horizon, Secrets of the Hollow Earth. Now, what are we basing? First of all, what is a hollow earth and what is the hollow earth theory? Let's begin with that.
Right. The hollow earth theory has been with us for probably centuries. And the idea is that rather than having, say, like a solid core with the further down you get, the hotter it gets. Finally, in the middle, you have a core made of iron and nickel. It's been postulated that less than 500 miles down, the Earth inside is hollow, and that there could also possibly be a small sun in the center of the planet, and that on the reverse side of the hollow Earth, there could also possibly be land and air and intelligent life and animals, that sort of thing. Edgar Rice Burroughs actually wrote a series of novels based on this idea called Pellucidar, the Pellucidar saga. It was also postulated that at both the North and South Poles there are openings that can lead directly into the hollow Earth. And the story goes that Admiral Byrd, on one of these expeditions that took place not over the South Pole but over the North Pole, that he actually flew inside of the hollow Earth. Part of my book, the Lost Journeys of Admiral Byrd, actually shows that supposedly one of these expeditions over the North Pole, he was in truth at part of Operation High Jump.
Well, what are we basing that information on? What do you base that on in your book? What's the source for that contention?
Well, the source is what was called a Samizdat, and this was a group of papers or a booklet almost that was called The Lost Diary of Admiral Byrd, and it emerged sometime probably in the late 50s or early 60s. And it was never officially published. It was one of these things where people would make copies of it and, you know, send it on to the next person, and they would make copies of it and send it on to the next. And it supposedly was the diary of Byrd and his trip in an airplane over the North Pole, where he was actually accosted by UFOs from an intelligent civilization from inside the hollow Earth, and it read very much like the UFO contactee stories from the late 50s and early 60s, where the inhabitants of the hollow Earth told Byrd that they were concerned about the nuclear testing that was going on the surface, and that if we didn't clean up our act, they were going to come up on top and do it for us. But what I reveal in my book was that the Lost Diary of Admiral Byrd was more than likely a disinformation campaign to direct attention to what had actually happened with Operation High Jump, which was probably an attempt to find out whether or not there was a Nazi base in Antarctica. And and then actually what happened is that once they got to Antarctica, and there's been a lot of wild stories that have come up about this part, that they were attacked by Nazi flying saucers and that sort of thing. My contention was that if there had been a Nazi base located in Antarctica, it was probably no longer there, or at least had been disbanded, and that everything that they were looking for probably had moved to South America. Places like that. But there were some amazing discoveries with Operation High Jump when it came to so-called the lost lands of Antarctica, with temperate regions. There were photographs taken of these freshwater and brackish lakes. But the other important aspect of this story is that the very same year after Admiral Byrd came back from Antarctica and told Congress of his fear that unknown aircraft could possibly be involved in attacking the United States, is when the modern UFO era started. Just a few months after this, Kenneth Arnold had his first UFO sightings in over the state of Washington, and then you had the crash of some kind of unknown aircraft in Roswell. So I don't think it's a coincidence that Operation High Jump took place within Admiral Byrd, fearful of some kind of unknown aircrafts, and then the modern UFO era started.
So it's your contention, or at least theory, one possible theory, that a lot of the UFO sightings that people have seen over the course of the last 6 or 7 decades might not be from outer space, which is, I think, the prevailing theory that a lot of people have about them, but from actually potentially within the Earth?
I think that the idea of blaming the inner Earth is one of these things that has come out that has become part of the disinformation involving the UFO idea that they are extraterrestrials from outer space. I think that, first of all, you know, probably the idea that the Earth is hollow inside, the same way that, you know, like the inside of an egg is hollow, is probably not true. I believe that there are probably a lot of tunnels and things like that that could be natural or actually constructed by a civilization that that came before our own. The whole UFO thing, rather than being from a lost civilization from a hollow Earth, is at least partially. You know, I'm not ruling out necessarily the whole extraterrestrial UFO hypothesis, but I think that one aspect of it probably is the result of man-made technology that occurred during World War II by Nazi Germany.
Wow.
And I think that there's a possibility that some of this technology had been taken to South America and originally to this this secret base in Antarctica, but it was extremely difficult to maintain something like that, so everything had been moved to South America. I think that the whole hollow Earth idea ended up being, like I said previously, a disinformation campaign to hide the fact that UFOs were partially man-made aircraft from a group of people that we thought that we had defeated, Nazi Germany.
Well, this is really interesting, and if people are interested in learning more about Tim Swartz and his work, they can go to the website conspiracyjournal.com. That's conspiracyjournal.com. Mr. Swartz, I definitely would love to have you back to talk about your new book and also some of the other great work you've done on Nikola Tesla and some of the other subjects you've studied at length.
Hey, my pleasure, Frank. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Tim Swartz, if you want to comment on any portion of our discussion, you're welcome to give me a call. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. This is The Other Side of Midnight, straight ahead.